standing. We're going to read the word. Luke 10. Luke 10, 38, 42. We've been in the servant series. And we're going to preach this thing till October. We're not going to stop. Because we got to know who we are. What kind of servants we are. We know we're servants of fire. We know that we're willing servants. We know that we're servants of faith. We know that we're servants, get the work, get it done. They finish the job. Amen. Hallelujah. And today we're going to talk that servants lay it down. Servants lay it down. Luke 10, 38, 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. Say a certain village. And a certain woman, say a certain woman. Certain woman named who? Martha. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister. Somebody said she had a sister. Yeah. She had a sister. Called Mary. Who also did what? Sat at the feet. Come on, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mighty God. But Martha was distracted. What was she?
Distracted.
Listen, I don't think there was any room for you to be distracted this morning in church. The atmosphere was right, amen? So there was no distraction. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Imagine Martha's walking up to the Lord and say, Lord, you don't care? The God of all compassion. But who was distracted? See, sometimes we project things on God. We project things even on God. Things that we need to take control of and fix ourselves. We say, God, where are you? Why are you not? God is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We get ourselves in all kinds of mess. And then we're like, God, where are you? She was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. We tell God what to do.
Yes.
We're telling God you're in wrong standing and you're trying to tell God what to do. And Jesus answers and said to her, Martha, Martha. When God calls your name twice, it's either good or bad. But God is really trying to get your attention when he calls your name twice. We know someone else that God called a few times was Samuel, amen? You are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing, somebody say one thing. Is needed. My God. Imagine only one thing is missing. One thing is needed. After we have all these things going on, there is one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll move through your word. And you will touch our hearts. And God, you would renew our minds. You'll refresh our spirit. You'll stamp us with the Holy Ghost and power. And God, that our lives will be changed. That this word will bring forth faith. And faith will increase and become works in our life. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we trust in you. We believe you that after we've heard this word, God, our faith will increase. And God will have faith to trust you more. In the name of Jesus, we give you the honor and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. So we've been in this servant series and we've been looking at different aspects of a child of God to know who we are and who God has created us to be and now who he is empowering us to be. Because I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. This is not a walk of our own will or our own strength, but we live by the grace of God. We serve God by his grace. Because where did it start? It started at grace, for by grace are ye saved. We didn't work. We didn't put this thing together. We didn't make much happen. All we did was believe. All we did was believe God. Amen? So we're looking at this word, and the word servant comes from the Greek word diakonos. Diakonos, right? That's it. Diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. And it means to serve. Right? One who executes the command of another, especially of a master, a servant, an attendant, a minister. So if we are servants of God, we are to do what he says. And the only way we can know what he says is when we shut up, be quiet, sit down and listen. Imagine your mother is trying to give you an instruction, or your boss is trying to give you an instruction, but you're busy talking. You're busy telling them something while they're trying to give you an instruction. You're going to get fired. You're going to fall out with your parent. Because if you're a servant, you are to carry out a specific task. The only way you can carry out the task is if you listen. The Bible says, let our words be few. There's a reason God tells us all these things. And he said, let our words be seasoned. Take your time. You are a servant. So now we get into this story. We're looking at Mary and Martha. And the part I got from here that is so awesome is that Martha invited Jesus to her house. Glory comes to your house, but you're missing out. Power is in your house, but you can't receive it because you're distracted. She's the one probably praying, bless this house. Bless this house, God. And here the blessing walks through the door, but because she is distracted. Yes, okay, serving is good. Making sure people have food is good. All of that is great. If I visit your home, I expect you to say, Pastor, would you like a cup of tea? Would you? But listen, I came there for something more important than that. I didn't come to your house because I'm hungry. You know, oftentimes you go to keep services in people's home, the host of the service, nowhere to be seen. Because we are cumbered and distracted by too many things. It is time that we lay those things down. Because we're servants of God. We get our priorities right. We put the cares of this life down. We put the troubles of this life down. Because Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary laden, and I will give you rest. We are too heavy laden, church. We're heavy laden with everything but God. We're heavy laden with every other thing but the Holy Spirit. We're heavy laden with every agenda but the agenda of God. We're so heavy laden when we walk into church, we can't even worship God. When we come to church to worship God. We're so heavy laden that when the word is preached, we can't even hear it because burdens. It is time to lay the burdens down. It don't matter if you know the IRS is going to take your check tomorrow. Lay it down. It don't matter if you know the police is coming. Put it down. It don't matter if you know you're going to get fired. Put it down. Lay your burdens down. And listen to what God wants to say. He said, I am a way. I am the way maker. I am the miracle worker. I'm the third man in the fire. The fourth man in the fire. Even if they put you in the furnace wouldn't burn you. Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I will build you to the end. Heaven and earth shall pass. She married Martha to Jesus to her house. But Mary took the seat. Mary took her seat. Jesus was there giving words of life, giving eternal words. You know, we set ourselves up and the systems of the world is set up that we can toil for the bread of sorrow and we can toil for the bread that passed away. But Jesus said to Martha, listen, Martha, you're worried and you're distracted by the temporary things. In the First Corinthians, it says that our works and everything we do is going to get tried, and some is going to be stubble, and some is going to be straw, and some only those that are of the kingdom of God will stand. When you go through the fire, will you be able to stand? Will your work stand up? Listen, church, it is time that we lay every sin, lay sins aside, lay weaknesses aside. And let me show you something. This is how you do it. You left your burdens here. Look at it in the physical. You have a weakness, something you're struggling with, you come to God with it. And you say, God, I like to thief. And I can't help myself but thief every day. Let me show you physically, this is what you do. You come to God, the Bible said, come to the throne of God boldly, that you may have what? Grace. His grace is sufficient, right? So you come with your thieving habit, and you put it here. And you say, you're like, thief, I'm putting you down at the feet of Jesus. I'm putting you down. And I'm not taking you with me, and I'm leaving you there. And I'm walking over here, and I start shouting, and I start dancing, and I start praising God. And I put a praise on my breakthrough, and I say, God, thank you for delivering me. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Thank you for turning my life around. Thank you for putting me on solid ground. Leave it there. Lay it down there. You can't read your Bible, you come back over here. You uninterested mind, I'm putting you down. You're not interested in the things of God. You're like, Martha, I'm putting you down. And I'm coming over here. And I say, Lord, I thank you that I'm reading your word. And you get your Bible and you talk to your Bible. You say, I'm going to read you. I'm going to feast from you every day. You know, when you find a nice girl, you tell her all the beautiful words. I will love you to the moon and back. No? Yeah, you tell them all these things because you're declaring. You want them to hear. You want it to enter their hearts. You want her to feel what you are feeling. And sometimes it's just a bag of lies. But yet you deceive her and she takes it. It's the same way. Tell your mind, listen, I'm going to serve God. I'm laying down my troubles. I'm laying down my cares. I'm laying down my struggles. I'm giving it to Jesus. Lay it down. So Mary got to the feet of the Lord. And she's there. And she's listening. And Martha is just worried about Jesus getting food. But I think the biggest problem was the disciples. It wasn't Jesus alone that came to their house. They were out doing ministry. And then Jesus and his posse. You know, Jesus coming with his posse. Anywhere he go, he take his posse with him. And they're always hungry. Always hungry, remember? They say, Lord, we got to leave this town and go to the other side to buy food. Are you going to come? Are you hungry, Lord? He said, no, no, no. My meat is to do the will of my Father. And he went down to Samaria and he met the woman at the well. And he said, woman, come and drink some real water. It is time for you to stop drinking what you've been drinking. And she laid on her bucket. She laid on her water pot. She came to the well for physical water. She laid on the pot and she ran to the village. After she drank the living water that Jesus had to offer, she left the bucket. She forget what she was about. And she got busy about the work of God. She got busy about living a life of the kingdom. It is time for us to stop trying to live the kingdom life and the world's life. We want to get friends here and get friends there and get friends everywhere. I want to tell you today, Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you must deny yourself. God is calling us to a life of self-denial. The right thing for Mary to do in that culture and the common thing for her to do was to serve. Was to serve. But Mary recognized that Jesus is Lord. Mary recognized what he's speaking is out of this world. So she went and she sat at his feet. She sat at his feet to hear. We have to turn distractions down. We got to turn television down. I want to encourage you, church, turn the news down sometimes. Watch the 7 o'clock or the 8 o'clock news, but don't sit hours and watch news. Because it's the same thing cycling. It's called a 24-hour news cycle. Over and over. It's a cycle. You could be riding that cycle and you're not going nowhere. Nowhere. You're not getting anywhere. And all you find yourself is depressed, broken, confused, and disheartened. But it's time for us to get to the good news. That is what Mary chose. She laid down her will and the will to serve man. She said, no, I got to hear what God has to say. When is the last time you sacrifice some time and say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what you have to say. You see, we get caught in the sleep and wake ministry. Most of us, we're caught, most of the church is caught in the sleep and wake ministry. When you wake up in the morning, you say, thank you, Lord, for today. Bless it. Let everything be good. Amen. Then when you go back to bed, just before you sleep, oh man, Lord, thank you that I went out and come back safe. Amen. Give me a good night's sleep. Amen. Sleep and wake ministry. That's what we're stuck in. But no. It is time for us to lay down our wills. Lay down your work schedule. And if you got to go to work at 7, you're going to get up 10, 15 minutes before and you're going to pray. And you're going to be intentional about your prayer. Because prayer is two-way communication. I want to stop in your tracks and tell you prayer is not just you talking to God. But prayer is God talking to you. I need God to talk to me. And the only way God can talk to me is if I sit at his feet. And I have to turn everybody down. That I can hear what the master has to say. Because there's always going to be distraction. There's always demand on your time. You got children, you got demand. You got friends, you got demand. You got a job, you got demand. All sorts of things. There's going to be demand on your health. When your health is failing, it is time to pray. When your finances are failing, it is time to pray and get directions from God. Be intentional. But I want to tell you, number one, it takes humility to lay it down. Because we're always trying to fix our situation. We're always trying to fix our situation. We always think we got it figured out. We always think we have it figured out, church. I know how I'm going to do this. I know how I'm going to build my life. You know, when you're young, you have this plan in your head of how you're going to grow up and you're going to get married. You're going to get a job and you're going to graduate college and you're going to get married and you're going to have kids and the kids are going to be great and beautiful and my wife is going to be so fine. And sometimes you roll and you're like, what happened? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, listen, guys, we have it all figured out in our head. The husband, too. The husband. You roll, you're like, what kind of man is this? But the Bible says many are the plans of a man, but the Lord has the final say. Amen. Commit your ways to the Lord, and he will grant the desires of you. You got to commit, church. Commit means laying it down. Meaning you're turning it over to the Lord. When last you take your plans and say, God, these are my plans. What you got to say about them? It takes humility to do that. But when you got it all figured out and you're all pompous and pumped up, you're like, yeah, man, I got this. And then when you hit the crossroads of life, then you run back to God. You run back to God and you're like, God, what happened? God said, you never told me anything about it. We never had a talk. What do you mean you're asking me what happened? We never spoke about this. We never spoke about this. Mighty God. I want to encourage you, church. Matthew 6:33 says, seek God first, the King. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything you're going to do, every move you're going to make, take it to God. Say, God, what do you think about this? Seek the kingdom of God first. Seek righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Go after that first. Seek the things that are eternal. You see, Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord that she could have received the eternal things. Jesus said to Martha, you see this food, you're going to eat it and done. But the things that Mary is receiving, no one will be able to take it from her. No one will be able to take it from her. Why it is, as the church, we find it so difficult. And I want to check your spirit this morning. It is time for us to stop thinking it difficult. It's time for us to grow in our faith. It is time as servants of God. Listen, servants carry out the will of the master, right? And if we are servants, we got to do his will. It is time for us to seek what God is interested about. God is interested about his kingdom. That's what God is, because the Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence takes it by force. Guess what? God is interested in his kingdom. I'm going to build my church. He's saying, I'm going to build you up. And nothing will be able to stop it. Amen? Our will is temporary, but God's will is eternal. Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom first. Listen. Let's not get drugged on this culture. Let's not get high in this culture. You know, you don't have to use drugs to be high. People are so high about what's the next trend. What's the next fashion statement? What's the new pair of Jordans? What's the next thing coming out at Pandora? No. You're watching. You're watching, man. What's next? But you're not seeing Spirit of God. What's next? What's next? How do we move your church forward? You say you're building it, but how do we come apart and be a part of the building? How do I be a part of the building blocks of the house? How do I win a soul? Give me strategy. You know, there's this one man I always try to reach. I look at him, he's so drunk on 244. And when he gets drunk, he starts to fight Kung Fu all by himself. Anybody ever seen him? He's a dread. Oh, when he gets drunk, he starts fighting Kung Fu by himself. And I'm saying, God, I want to meet him. And this morning I was able to talk to him. And I told him, I said, you don't belong here. We got to relocate you. And he smiled. He smiled. Time for us to pray. Look around at our community. Sometimes you're afraid to walk the street. But maybe it's time for us to get crazy on the streets. And when you walk on the street, you're louder than the bad men. You're louder than the bad girls. And start to rebuke demon loud, brazen and bold. And arrest some spirit. Listen, it'll take some radical things to mess with this neighborhood. This is a radical ground we're on. And it's going to take some radical people to take this. To be like Peter and John and say, hey, it don't matter if you throw me in prison. We're going to preach this thing. I know that nothing is able to separate me from the love of God. Whether it be hell, trouble, tribulation, death, oh mighty God, angels, principalities, nothing. I've laid it down. Yes. Hallelujah. The only thing that can sanctify us is truth. Truth is the only thing that frees us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I got news for somebody this morning. We're not turning to the right. We're not turning to the left. Our eyes are on Jesus. Our eyes are on the Lord. Our focus. I made my face like a flint. And come hell or high water, we're preaching this gospel. And the gospel is according to the word of God. Only truth makes us free. Lies hold us hostage. Lies manipulate us. And the devil has lots of lies. And he's feeding it to the people of the world. Mary was at a place with God. Because she wanted eternal truths. She wanted eternal truths. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And the word is the good news. The word is the good news that we've preached to you. The word of God is forever. Let's lay down our will. Let's do what God says. Follow the commissions of God. Go after God with all your heart. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I know one woman. I know a woman, man. Some of us know her, and I can't get off this because she always, I see her on the street, and she's just sitting there all by herself because her husband told her he will never die and leave her. And about 20 years ago, the husband died and left her, and she's broken. She is broken because she received the words of a man. Mary was after the words of God, the word that is eternal, the promises that are sure. Lay it down, church. Lay it down. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Mary is such a beautiful picture of what it means to be a child of God. Mary is a perfect picture where we can see what we should be doing. We should be going after God and laying everything down. She didn't care if her and Martha fell out. Sometimes we don't want to leave people. We're afraid to lay down relationships. I want to tell you, it is time we lay down relationships. Write that one down. We must, if we're going to follow Christ, we must lay down relationships. Amen? We must lay them down. There's a scripture that says, nevertheless, I think it's John 12:42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisee, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They believed in Christ, but they wouldn't follow because what? They were afraid of man. They're afraid of being put out of what they became accustomed to. Let me tell you something. You see, when my parents got saved, my mom and my dad, their parents, their family members disowned them. My mom could not go comfortably and visit her family. All her families were unsaved. When she goes, she leaves the country, go to the city. My uncle would cuss her out and tell her all manner of things. She would cry and come back on the bus. We didn't grow up with family. We didn't really grow up. We grew up with the church. The church became our family. The Bible says, when mother and father forsake you, oh my God, then I'll pick you up. I'll never leave you desolate. And those same family members are saved today. It is not easy, church. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself. You want pleasure of family? Listen, you got to leave brother. You got to leave mother behind. If you're going to follow God, you got to come completely. Come completely. And you know what Jesus said to those who lay down? He said, those who have laid down father and mother, for my sake, will have 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. Somebody give Jesus praise. We got to let go. We got to give it up. It's compulsory. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the Bible says many left. They couldn't handle that. They could not have laid it down that much. Jesus was saying it will cost you everything. That's what it means. It will cost you everything. It will cost you some comfort time. When it's time you want to go hang out and play cards or hang out and play video games, God is saying, I want you to come and pray. When it's time for you want to go hang out with your buddies and your friends, God may call you in that moment. He's like, I got something to tell you. Come listen to me. You're like, no, God, I can't handle that. I can't handle that, God. When you want to go chill with your buddies and go to the mall, the church might say, we're going evangelism. And you can't handle that because you have not become so consumed with Jesus. But yet a servant does what God wants him to do. There's time for everything. I'm not saying live an unbalanced life, not at all. I'm saying have your fun, have everything, but make sure in your schedule it's carved out to listen to God. It's carved out to do the work of God. It's carved out that you're reaching somebody for Jesus. The Bible said the early church continued daily. Yes. How you think it grew haphazardly? No. They laid down their wells and they followed the apostles. Wherever the apostles went, they went. Whatever the apostles did, they did it. Because they were the ones that had the encounter with the living Christ. But yet we want to do the thing how we want to do it, when we want to do it, if we want to do it. Following Christ would cause everything. Go to John 12. John 12, verse 5, it says, read from verse 3. And you see, Mary went to the Lord. And she broke the alabaster box. When she broke the alabaster box, Judas jumped up and said, this money should be, this ointment should be sold and the money given to the poor. Now, the price of that thing was a year's worth of wages. A whole year's worth of wages. And we complain when we got to give a tenth. We complain when we got to give $5, $10, $15. We complain when we got to give $1,000. But this woman loved Jesus so much. Because you know why she was so consumed with it? She sat at his feet. Ooh. And she understood who he was. And she understand the reason why he came. And she understand what he was doing and what he was about to do. So it didn't matter what it caused her. She laid it all down already. And she was ready, willing, and able to do exactly what God wanted her to do. And God wanted her to anoint the body of Christ with an expensive ointment in preparation for his death. And she said, God, even if I got to lose a year's worth of wages, I'm going to buy this ointment. I'm going to go buy it. And I'm going to meet you, Lord. And I'm going to anoint you. Following Jesus will cost everything. It will cost you your time. And it will cost you your money. We're servants, right? Yeah, we're servants. It's going to cost you your money. Because if we believe that everything that we have belongs to God, right, church? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. So this is where the sermon gets uncomfortable. Mary took a whole year's worth of labor and anointed the Lord's body. The only reason Mary knew Jesus was going to the cross was because she was listening to him. Even the disciples did not believe. When Jesus said he's going to die, they rebuked him. And they said, Messiah, we thought that Messiah would have lived forever. But they didn't realize that he was the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth, from the world. They didn't realize that he was the one that left heaven's glory and took on flesh and came to the earth so that we all can be saved today. It will cost you everything. You got to be prepared for that, church. You got to be prepared. But there is a reward that comes with it. Can somebody say reward? John 12, 25 to 26 says, anyone who loves their life will lose it. That's the reward. If you love your life, you're going to lose it. No. While anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If we make the sacrifices now, we're going to get the eternal crown. We're going to get the eternal glory. Whoever served me must follow me. You understand what Jesus is saying here? If you're going to serve him, if you're going to worship him, if you're going to praise him, you got to follow him. This is where the rubber meets the road, church. We got to follow. We got to determine in our minds to follow God no matter how hard it gets. And in this day and age, it's pretty easy, I could tell you that. Let's take a trip down memory lane. When the apostles were coming up, they caught them and they whooped their behinds. When they preached the gospel, they threw them in prison. When they preached the gospel, they took them and they threw them in pits. When they preached the gospel, they took them and they threw them to hungry lions. And the people, look at this, look how cold-blooded they were. That when they throw them before the lions, there's a whole arena of people shouting, yay, yay, yay. We got it easy. All we got to do is follow. We got to follow. We got to follow. Anybody determined to follow the Lord today? We got to lay down our wills. The only way you can follow God, you must have a heart that is laid down. You must have a will. He said, take my yoke, learn of me. Take my yoke, learn of me. Take my yoke, he said, take my burden. Whatever makes me feel heavy should make you feel heavy. Whatever hurts me should hurt you. God is calling up to a new level, church. Enough munchies. Enough baby food. Paul said to the church in Corinth, I can't even talk to you as saints, as mature. I got to talk to you as babes. And you know what babes' language is? Mwah, mwah, baby, love you, baby. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Nobody wants to get married to a man that thought, I love you. Mwah. It's the same way. When God looks at us and all we could know is, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I really love you, Jesus. Oh, love you, Jesus. Oh, do you love me, Jesus? Oh, are you there, Jesus? I'm not Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, like the Apostle Paul. What is it you would have me to do? What is it you would have me to do? Why did you put me on this earth? What is my part in the Great Commission? Am I a hand? Am I a foot? Am I a back? Am I a neck? Come on, what am I, Lord? You've got to follow me. Come on, guys, don't distract the congregation. Whoever serves me must follow me. Meaning wherever he goes, you're going with him. Amen? Wherever you go, wherever he goes, you are going. And where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the ones who serve me. When you get to heaven, do you want to be honored? Yes. When you get to heaven, you will be honored. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. God honors you. He said, the sparrows, not one sparrow fall to the ground, and God does not know. God will honor you. God will protect you. God will care for you. God will let his angels take charge, lest at any time you're about to fall. He'll make his angels to have charge. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got his own trouble, but seek God first, and he's going to supply. Give us this day our daily bread. The righteous is never forsaken. Because he said, if you seek me here, you'll get 100-fold. Matthew 19:29, you'll get 100 here and 100 here. One more thing. When you lay it down, God vindicates you. When you lay it down, God vindicates you. How is this so? In Mary's life, two times God vindicated her. When Martha was saying, Lord, you don't care. You know what the Lord said? He said, Martha, you're distracted, you're worried. Sometimes, just like Jesus, the Bible says he was the lamb led to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. Sometimes we got to, when we lay our wills down, even if people are questioning what it is you're doing and how it is you're doing it, you keep your mouth shut. Because God has a way of answering their questions. Mary did not have to answer. Jesus answered Martha. Mary could have said, oh, Martha, wouldn't you leave me? I need to hear what you... No, she shut him out because she was busy listening. Amen. And Jesus spoke on her behalf. Remember this, church. Don't fight your own battles. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. and let the Lord fight your battle. A servant that is laid down his will, the Lord fights his battle. So even if your friends are fussing and cussing at you, say, oh, you're not coming with us, you're not going to this, you're not that, why is it you this, why is it you that, you're all up in the church, you this, you that, you this, do that, you just be quiet. Because you don't have answers a lot of times. It's okay to not have an answer. We saw Mary didn't answer here. The next time when she went, and she was anointing the body of Jesus, and the disciple Judas said, why don't it be sold? Jesus said, listen, Judas, you thief. Jesus probably said in his mind, you thief. You think I didn't see when you push your hand in the bag and took the money? Because the Bible says he would always go into the bag and help himself. But Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. But I'm only here for a season. And she have chose the right thing. She chose the right thing. I want to encourage you, church. As you follow God as a servant and you lay down your will, God fights for you. God fights for you, mama. God fights for you, papa. The Lord is able. He has a mighty outstretched arm. He is the captain of the host of heaven. Think of who you serve and serve him faithfully. Think of who it is you serve and serve him with all your heart. Say, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. If you want me to go to South Dakota and live, if that's where you're leading, I'm going there. And maybe he'll take you to India or Africa. And you're like, oh no, Joe. Oh no. Yes. Wherever he leads.